From the 17-yard line, looking for the end zone, to the back corner of the end zone, floating it in for Simmons, and it's a touchdown. What a throw, what a catch, and the Bowlers strike first. Love looking that direction again. He was hit as he throws it. It's intercepted. Tozino with his second pick.
A fumble and a snap. Back to the 15. Kelly scoops it up and tries to fling it away. Picked off. The Breakers taking it back. Touchdown, New Orleans. Cole Kelly tried to throw it away. Outside linebacker Vontae Diggs takes it to the house. To the left of Patrick Thompson. Goes to the right, quick snap, touchdown New Orleans. Jay Adams, Magoo, nice pocket, floats it to the end zone, touchdown Birmingham. Deion Kane for six. Four-man rush, Bahar spins out of pressure, cuts it back. See if he keeps it or lets it go. Keep it himself. Drop the ball. Birmingham will have 6 points on a gift from Kenji Bahar.
There he is, the bowling ball, Darius Victor. No one's going to stop him on the inside, are they? All the way into the end zone. Cookus finds his man. Terry Wright still on his feet. Touchdown, Stars. That one was quick on a 3rd and 9. Cookus finds his man. Ball knocked out. The pressure gets there. It's Hercules Mata'afa with the pass rush of the night. And he's going to seal the win for the Generals.
Welcome to Generally Speaking, the New Jersey Generals pregame show for Week 10 on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. I'm your host, Angelo Fioris. Welcome to the show. It all comes down to this for the New Jersey Generals. After 9 weeks of ups and a lot of downs, they and the Pittsburgh Maulers find themselves in a winner advances, loser goes home, de facto playoff game in Canton, Ohio, later on today. After last week's dramatic victory for the Generals over the Stars and the Maulers' equally dramatic victory over the Michigan Panthers last Saturday, it has set up this semifinal matchup with the winner heading or staying in Canton for next week's playoff game against the winner of the Philadelphia-Michigan game, which takes place tomorrow night. The last time these two teams faced off was week two in Canton, Ohio. Seems like an eternity ago, but the New Jersey Generals easily handling the Maulers that night, 20-3. However, these are two different teams since then. The Maulers, while not exactly beating teams, have evolved into a capable offensive bunch who gets a lot of help from their defense and their special teams, while the Generals just struggled all season long to find themselves, but had that signature New Jersey offensive game last week, which makes you hope that the Generals have found themselves offensively finally after 9 weeks of searching and are ready to take on what is arguably the best defense in the league, led by Boogie Roberts and Kaiava Tozino, and of course, Reuben Foster. With Darius Victor and Trey Williams running in tandem like they did last season and DeAndre Johnson taking every snap in the game, the Generals' offense finally looked like its old self. The Generals are going to need that, and they're going to need some more of that creativity we saw in their play calling a week ago, like when they let Cam Eccles-Looper complete that pass to DeAndre Johnson. We hadn't seen any play calling like that much at all this season, whereas last year it was kind of Coach Riley's hallmark and his calling card. However, it looked like everything about the Generals was about getting back to basics and being who they really are. But one of the areas that concerns me was the tackling issues late in the game against the Stars, letting receivers bounce off them and sprint to the end zone. And then the special teams, still a concern. The Stars are a very good special teams unit, as are the Pittsburgh Maulers. Isaiah Henney alone is a handful. And if the Generals do not get a full grip on their special teams, then they're going to find themselves defending short fields again, much like they did against the Stars a few weeks back and as they did against the Stars late in the game last week. The Maulers' offense, while improved over the last few weeks, still does not close out drives, as is evidenced by the numerous field goals converted by their field goal kicker, Chris Blewett. But they still are dangerous. Their quarterback, Troy Williams, while a pocket passer, can run if he has to and use his legs. And they have weaponry at wide receiver Isaiah Henne quickly comes to mind. Their running backs have been rather pedestrian this season, though. And if Pittsburgh is going to be effective offensively, they really need to find a way to rush the ball and also to pound the ball if they do get inside the 10-yard line, something else that they have not been very successful at. With the kicker as good as the Maulers have, the general special teams are going to have to match that output. Nick Skiba has been excellent this season, his only miss coming from a very long distance. He did, however, miss an extra point last week, which loomed kind of large late in that game. So hopefully whatever went wrong on that kick gets cleaned up. Brock Miller, what can you say about him? He has been dynamite all season long for the Generals, especially on kicks inside the 20-yard line. And if called upon, he's going to have to do his job to keep the Maulers pinned back deep in their territory to let the Generals defense do what they do best. Chris Orr, fully healthy. Shalom Luani, fully healthy. You've got guys like DJ Daniel and Paris Ford who have stepped up their games this year to contribute, as well as Hercules Mataafa. And you've got, of course, Toby Johnson in the middle, looking to contain Troy Williams and keep him from using his legs on the perimeter. When you consider what each of these two teams has gone through this year to get to this point in week 10, it's really amazing that either one of them still has a shot at the playoffs. Yes, part of that is because of the weak nature of the North Division, but the other part is because neither team quit. It would have been real easy for either one of these squads to pack it up last week and say, well, we're kind of done here. But credit to both coaching staffs, credit to both rosters for showing up a week ago and sticking it to their opponents and setting up winner-take-all games in both matchups in the North Division this week. All right, let's now hear from Generals quarterback DeAndre Johnson, head coach Mike Riley, and then we'll also hear from Maulers head coach Ray Horton.
It's playoff week. This is round one for us. And, you know, that's just nothing else needs to be said, really. It's just like attention to detail. Win or go home.
Teams morph as you go, sometimes because of injury, sometimes because of situations. So we've changed, but we have maintained a very good work ethic, a good attitude, a good bunch of guys with still an opportunity to do great things.
And then what has your message been to your team leading up to the big game on Saturday?
Know what to do. You know, none of it matters if you don't know your assignments and you don't know what you're supposed to do on each play. That's the most important foundation. And then, you know, in a game like this, everybody's going to play hard. So that's out the window. Both teams are going to play hard. So it's really about who executes, who makes the plays to win the game.
It's going to be a physical game. We expect that. They are a power running team, and they run the quarterback. They run the halfbacks, you know. So what we expect is what we've been getting from our defense is just excellence and consistency. I put in a petition to let us play with 12 and 13 men, but I don't think they're going to let us do that part. So on really, we go back to just doing what we've been doing, and our mantra has been have our best ball be at the next game. And so all we're trying to do is just play better every week. We look back on missed opportunities, and you know, every team can say that, but the big point for us is we're still in it. We control our own destiny. So everything that we had week ones as goal, it's still available in week 10.
Quarterback Troy Williams of the Pittsburgh Maulers, welcome to Generally Speaking. How are you?
Sir, I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing great. It's good to have you on the show. It's been wonderful to watch your ascension into the starting position and your growth into the role, Troy, as you and the Maulers, while suffering some difficult losses, have grown into a team to reckon with.
For me, just trying to stay the course, to build confidence week by week, you know, having faith in the coaches and us as players, coming together as one, and, you know, try to, you know, put our best effort forward, you know, each week as we go forward here.
You really got going in week three when you took over the quarterback job, but to me, you didn't fully get comfortable until the Stallions game. Talk about how that was the turning point for your season.
Yeah, I was just, you know, just me building, you know, block by block, you know, just trying to stay consistent. That's been the big thing for me, just, you know, trying to stay consistent, you know, play in and play out and just let the game come to me. You know, I know I have a, a number of different ways where, you know, I can help our offense, whether it's my arm or my legs. So for me, it's just about, you know, letting the game come to me and taking the opportunity when it comes to make those plays that'll hurt the defense and put us in position to win.
You're the team's leading passer. You're the team's leading rusher. You're the team's leading scorer in rushing touchdowns as well. They really rely on you and your skills. But talk about how important the rest of your teammates are to your success.
Oh, man. You know, everybody plays a part in one another with success. You know, I can't throw touchdowns if the receivers aren't catching the ball or if the O-line isn't blocking, the coaches aren't calling the call. So, you know, I feel like everybody plays a part within one another's success. You know, like I said, we've been getting more confident week by week, and we're just trying to, you know, stay with that. And, you know, I'm just trying to be as confident as I can and help lead us out there and, you know, try to keep us in good positions out there on the field.
The team draws up specific plays for your running skills, and you scored a nice long touchdown. I forget which game it was exactly, down the left sideline, I believe it was. Do you love running the ball, or is it something you do when you're asked, or, you know, is it in your nature?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind running the ball. I don't want to do whatever, you know, the team asked me to do or whatever helps us the most. You know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win, so. You know, I know the coaches, you know, they like to get me out on the perimeter and use my legs as a threat as well. You know, it's always tough, you know, going against a dual threat quarterback. So we have to use that as an advantage whenever we can. And, you know, like I said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win. So that means I have to carry the ball a little bit more that day, then, you know, so be it. I have, you know, full confidence in the O-line and coaching staff to do that.
You guys are 3-6, which on the surface doesn't look like a great season, but you've been very competitive all season long. So does the fact that you guys are in a play-in game wash away some of those previous disappointments?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we take the good and bad from, you know, from all of those games. We feel like we've been in every single game with the exception of one maybe in Memphis, but right. You know, it's been close, you know, throughout the whole year. And we knew coming into these last couple games, you know, it will be, you know, everybody's record is 0-0, especially right now.
And finally, Troy, you're facing a Generals defense, which in your previous meeting held the Ballers offense to just 3 points. Talk about the challenges that facing a defense like that presents in the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. It'll be a good one. You know, they have a lot of good players over there on their defense. I feel like, you know, they're coached well. They have a good staff over there coaching those guys up. But, you know, we aren't the same team that we were that week. So, you know, we've grown a lot schematically and, you know, adding a couple players to the roster as well. So, you know, it'll definitely be a different look for them. I know they like to stay consistent with what works for them on the defensive end. So we just try to find the best ways to attack that. And, like I said, we're a completely different team from that week. So, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch.
Troy, I wish you a lot of luck later today in Canton. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate you as well. Sure. Troy Williams, quarterback of the Pittsburgh Maulers here on Generally Speaking. When Generally Speaking returns, it's Toby time. Generals team leader Toby Johnson joins us to speak about the team's preparation for this de facto playoff game against the Maulers later on today in Canton. You're listening to Generally Speaking on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. Welcome back to Generally Speaking, the Generals pregame show for a do or die week 10 on Fox Sports Radio, New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. I'm your host, Angelo Fioris, and you know what it means when we come back from break. It's Toby time, and we welcome Toby Johnson, the Generals nose tackle, defensive leader, emotional leader, all of those things wrapped up into one. Welcome to the show, sir.
How y'all doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for this game on Saturday. It's a playoff game, essentially. Toby, how are you guys feeling as you approach this do or die battle?
We're feeling good as a team. You know, guys came out with the right mindset all week. You know, defense looking to bounce back. You know, we gave up a lot of points this past weekend. That's something not like us. A lot of touchdowns, I say, rather than points, because we have gave up points. But we pride ourselves not letting guys get in the end zone. So we're just looking to bounce back this week. Offense put on a good showing last week, and, you know, we got to do our parts. So we're just looking after those guys this week.
With an offensive showing like that and DeAndre fitting right back into his role as if he never left, that has to make you feel good as a defense, because although the second half didn't quite go your way defensively, to me, that's like the anomaly. So a defensive performance like is normal for the Generals combined with that kind of offensive output really bodes well for you guys for Saturday, although you're playing a tough Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah. You know, those guys been talking, Boogie and those guys, and I see Coach Gordon put some on this thing. You know, they've been talking about, you know, they're the best defense. And, you know, we feel the same way. Those guys have done a good job all year, just holding guys to a lot less points than we have, I feel like. You know, even though they gave up a lot of big explosive plays against some of these games or whatever, they've been doing a good job tackling. I see that. That's, you know, I give them a lot of praise on the back end. And, you know, even their front seven, they do a very good job of swarming to the ball. So, you know, we're going to have our hands full, but our offense, I feel like our offense is right where they need to be at the right time. And, you know, I feel like the defense, you know, we had a good week of practice and, you know, guys communicating better, and we feel like we're going to bounce back this week too. So we're just looking forward to playing these guys.
Let's talk about these guys on offense. Now, the Maulers have a little bit of a different look from the first time you played them 8 weeks ago. My goodness, it feels like an eternity now. But they weren't quite settled in on Troy Williams at QB. They were still rolling with James Morgan for the most part that day, and Troy picking up some of the extra plays. But now it's Troy Williams' show. Their offense has changed. They didn't win a lot of games, but they got better. So what differences do you see in their offense with Troy at the helm completely versus, say, earlier in the year when you played him?
I see a guy that can make all the throws, a guy that can use his feet, but he tend to want to be a pocket passer. I feel like they're more explosive when he's in there. You know, you have to respect the jet sweeps that they give with 17. And, you know, we ain't see four last week, but I know four going to be back. He another guy that's very explosive. And, you know, he got a lot of guys on offense that, you know, do a good job of, you know, getting explosive plays. And guys, even the fullbacks, tight ends, 44, 32, all those guys, they do a good job at their role. They excel at their role within the offense. And we got to do a good job of, you know, holding these guys accountable. Holding these guys accountable in their role in the game.
Well, you're facing a quarterback like Troy Williams, who you just said, he's mobile when he has to be but prefers to throw. Do you take a different sort of approach to a QB like that, or is it kind of basic sort of game planning?
I feel like we got a, you know, different approach. I feel like, you know, the guy we just played here last week, Case, was, you know, Case can make all the throws and he can run too. But we tend to play a little different, you know, get guys like this. We're going to try to – I know for me – you know, I have a different role week in and week out. So this week I want to rush a lot more this week, more so than try to press the pocket, bull rush the pocket. So I'm trying to get after the quarterback this week.
This is the last week of the season, Toby, regular season. You win this game, you are in the playoffs for week 11. Talk about, as we close our conversation for today, talk about what the mood's like in the locker room and how guys are feeling about this opportunity.
Guys just happy, you know. Who would have said 3-16 would have a chance to, you know, have a chance to go to the playoff and own our own destiny? You know, you got a lot of other teams that, you know, if they win, they still need somebody to lose and all this stuff, like, you know, Memphis and those guys. You know, Junjun, my brother over there, and we was just talking about it today, man. Like, you know, we hold our own destiny. So who wouldn't want it this way? Who would have wanted to go be over there in the opposite league, 6-3, and still fighting for a playoff spot? And you gotta wait, you know what I mean? You gotta wait till somebody else lose. I want it exactly how it is. leave it in our hands, and we'll may the best man win.
Good luck to you, and good luck to the rest of the Generals, Toby. Thanks for a great season. It's been awesome having you on every week. Hopefully we get to do it again next week for a playoff edition.
Yeah, I pray we do. I pray we do. Appreciate y'all for having me today.
Toby Johnson of the New Jersey Generals on Generally Speaking. So there you have it. There's really not much else to talk about when it comes to this game. It's just going to come down to which team wants it more, which team turns the ball over less, and who executes. We can go down the list of what has gone wrong and right for the Generals all season long, but none of that matters anymore because it's do or die today. And my gut tells me the Generals are going to do it. We have reached that part of our show where we try to iron out the rest of this week 10 madness as the playoffs loom in just 1 week in the USFL. And to help us do that, we bring in the Pro Football Newsroom's Luke Miller. Luke, have you figured out any of this mess?
Well, I don't know if I figured it out, but I think we'll all have figured it out by the end of this weekend. At least we'll know who's still alive.
Let's start with the Stars and the Panthers, shall we? The winner of that game will face the winner of the Generals Maulers game. And the Stars were the team playing better. The Panthers managed to win a game to get themselves in the mix here. But I think this is a coin flip.
Yeah, it's really hard to say what's going to happen. The Panthers won the first meeting between these two teams, but that was a long time ago, and they were very different teams that played. Neither team has looked super impressive recently. They've been able to stay in games, but haven't been able to close the deal. So I think this one's probably going to come down to the wire, and it might be a matter of who doesn't blow the game versus who actually is able to win.
Well, offensively speaking, the Stars definitely have it more together of the two teams. So for the Panthers, the real challenge is going to be finding a way to score points, Luke.
Yeah, you know, they had four interceptions last week, I think five sacks, and that's just not going to cut it. And so they've got to really figure out a way to protect the football, make good decisions, finish drives, or else a Stars offense that's very potent, as you said, is probably going to outscore them in the end of this one.
Yeah, and that's where I struggled to see the Panthers being able to come on top. However, they are facing a Stars defense that gives up points and yards in bunches, Luke. So there is hope here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Both of these teams have some glaring weaknesses. They also have strengths, but they certainly have weaknesses. And so if either one of the teams can take advantage of the other team's weaknesses, they certainly have the opportunity of pulling this game out and keeping their season alive.
One of the biggest weaknesses is game management, and the Stars' Bart Andrus is a master of that, and he proved it again last week, even though they lost, whereas Mike Nolan has been struggling with these end-of-half and end-of-game clock management situations, Luke. So I'm going to go with the team that has shown to have a little bit better coaching this year.
Yeah, you know, if I had to pick, I would lean Stars on this one, too. I just think they're a better team and a more complete team, a better coach team. But it's hard to say anything with any definitiveness in this league.
Absolutely right. And speaking of unable to speak with definitiveness, let's talk about the Breakers and the Gamblers, shall we? These are two teams that have had two seasons wrapped up into one, and the team that comes out on top here is going to be in the mix for that last playoff spot. Let's start with the Breakers, who, if they win, they're in, Luke.
Yeah, the Breakers have started to maybe return to early season form. They haven't been quite as good as maybe their 4-0 run at the start of the year, but they certainly haven't been as bad as they did when they went on that three-game skid. The defense has been playing really well, had an awesome game against the Showboats, which are a great team, last week. And so they're starting to look like things are clicking a little bit more again.
Yeah, and for me, that's the key here, right? We were talking about the Breakers' offense for a few weeks as they were struggling, but they've managed to score some points, at least in the 20s the last few weeks, while their defense has started to ramp up their game. And the Gamblers, as we've seen over the last month, has had a hard time against teams with the top-tier defenses in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. The Gamblers really struggled last week against the Stallions, weren't able to get in the end zone a single time against a good Stallions defense, and had similar struggles, not quite as bad, but similar struggles the week before against the Maulers. And so I think it's going to be tough for the Gamblers to pull this one out if the Breakers defense comes to play like I expect they will.
As far as a big picture goes, the Breakers may not be an upper echelon defense, but in a league where streaks matter, they've been playing great in the last two, 3 weeks, and I believe that's going to carry over. As far as the Breakers offense goes, we know all about them. McLeod Bethel-Thompson has been piling up the yards passing. Wes Hills is the leading rusher. They've got Sage Surratt. They've got Jay Adams. The weapons are endless for their offense, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. We know what they're capable of. Early on in the season, they were the most high-flying, most potent offense. Obviously, they had some struggles down the stretch, but they've got a veteran quarterback with a lot of experience, won the Grey Cup in the CFL last year. He's been in these situations before. He's a great leader. And so I expect that that's really going to pay off for them as they get into that late season and potentially postseason push.
And for the Gamblers offensively, it's a matter of Kenji Bahar having a consistent game where he does not turn the ball over, Mark Thompson doing his thing, and the rest of the offense showing up to participate and contribute.
Absolutely. We know that Thompson is probably the best back in the league, and they really need to get him going against the Breakers defense. And then Bahar, that I think will help him. If they can lean on Thompson, that can open up opportunities for Bahar. Would really like to see them get wide receiver Justin Hall involved more. He was looking like the best receiver in the league at the beginning of the year, but he's been pretty quiet in recent weeks. And so I'd like to see them get the ball in his hands, and I think that's going to help the offense hum a little more than they have recently.
I want to lean Breakers in this one, but I feel like it's going to be close. The last game of the weekend does have playoff implications. Maybe it's the Stallions and the Showboats, who are technically still alive, but for the Showboats to advance, Luke, they've got to win and win big and hope for some big losses elsewhere.
They can still make the playoffs, but the probability is pretty slim. They need to win big, and like you said, they need some other things to go their way as well in order to make that happen.
The Stallions at 7-2 have clinched their berth in the playoffs, and they're getting healthier now, Luke, as the playoffs are around the corner.
Yes, they seem to be getting healthy and peaking at the right time, which is really all you could ask for after the season the Stallions have had. I'll be interested to see how they approach the game today and whether or not they play their starters for the entirety of the game, some of the game. It'll be interesting to watch how they try and approach this game when they've had so many injuries throughout the year, and they certainly don't want more right before the playoffs.
I was thinking about that, and I am expecting Coach Holtz to be conservative with his players, perhaps in the second half of the game. But I imagine he's going to give his horses, pardon the pun, at least enough time to stretch their legs, so to speak.
Certainly. I don't think you want these guys to take a week entirely off and get cold and then have to go out for a huge playoff showdown the following week. So I think we'll see some of those main guys that we've gotten used to seeing for the Stallions, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't finish the game and if he lets them get some reps, but gives some other guys who have been behind them this year an opportunity to get some game reps before they help add some depth into that playoff push.
It's nice to not have a game with high stakes for the Stallions as they cruise into their home playoff game 1 week from today. Luke, enjoy the madness as we wrap up week 10. I can't believe that it's already over. We'll talk to you next week on our playoff show.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Should be awesome.
Luke Miller of the Pro Football Newsroom. That's it for this week's edition of Generally Speaking on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. I'm your host, Angelo Fioris. Enjoy the games, everybody. We are back again next week at 9 AM. If the Generals win this game today, it'll be Generally Speaking, the playoff edition. Should the Generals lose, it'll be USFL Game Plan, the playoff edition. But either way, we're back right here at 9 o'clock next week. See you then.